automatic writer.
That's what I thought I heard.
Yeah, but however, that's not the way the music comes, and that's
not
a very rare, so rare, so not considerable.
Well, what's intriguing to me is that she can sit down and, in a month's time, produce music, you know, in the style of old masters, which she claims she's getting it in this fashion.
Correct.
And for one of us, we would have to go to the Juilliard School of Music and just to master the style of Mozart, of Beethoven.
Might take 10 years, maybe.
You know, it's a lifetime's work right there, and she's doing all of them.
Richard Rodney Bennett told me, you know, as a very eminent British composer, he said, with a lifetime of study of the music of Beethoven, I couldn't affect some of the Beethoven she has produced. And it's absolutely top quality.
Because, you know, as you know, Stuart, anybody can, who is a musician,
can certainly improvise
in the style of a master. But what she does is not only improvise in the style of the master, but it's also a continuing evolution of the master.
Right, and she writes out whole symphonies and concertos.
You know, she's writing Rachmaninoff all at once. Those hands are 14 miles apart. You know, he had big hands.
And Brahms had big hands, and it was the same Richard Rodney Bennett who said that, he said to me, as you know, a composer tends to write music for the size hand he has, and then he mentioned Rachmaninoff and Brahms, and it's that, even that little detail is in the music. I have a difficulty in stretching some of the hand patterns of from some Brahms music that I have from her.
Where can somebody hear some of this new music, sir?
Yes, on the 21st. Let me lead into that. Something has been happening recently. A couple of weeks ago, Clint Ernie, who is the music editor of the Santa Ana Register, happened to hear me play a couple of pieces, and then he said he'd like to hear more, and I invited him to my home. I have a beautiful Steinway here, and he heard a great deal. Well, he was so impressed that he did a two-page story in the Register, and I've been getting unexpected phone calls since, and one was from Disney Cable.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a stint on Rosemary Brown.
Great.
And they're bringing their cameraman over. Their problem, however, is this. Maybe somebody here could solve it. The man who's in charge telephoned BBC. He wanted some live footage from BBC, which they have, because of a certain story. And yes, they will provide it, but it was $750 for 1 minute. Now, then Rosemary has been, some shots of Rosemary have been on some of the TVs here, like Johnny Carson and 60 Minutes, but apparently they too want quite a bit. So there has to be found another, if someone knows another station that has some of this footage, let it go.
Well, we'll
maybe
see.
We should have someone in England do something new. I don't know.
We'll just check out our home office there in London. We have an office. The American Broadcasting Company probably can get into that.
As to where you can hear the music, on the 21st, I'll be giving a lecture recital, mainly music, however. I tell how the music comes to her. And it will be at the Church of the Revelations in Midway City, which is a little beyond Westminster from where I am.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, it's the 21st at 7:30 p.m. No tickets, just a donation.
Just come in?
They're bringing in a beautiful grand piano for the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it will be an interesting evening. So if you were, you know, anyone who likes to would like to hear this music.
What's that address again?
The exact address I don't have, except that it is in Midway City. It's called Church of the Revelations.
Church,
it's a metaphysical church, and they also have healing services.
You say it's near Westminster?
It's a little beyond. I'm in Anaheim, and I'd say if I passed west, headed towards it, I would pass Westminster.
Oh.
Well, we got to look that one up.
Yeah, I have to look.
Midway City, I never heard of. I kind of knew all the areas.
It's right after Westminster. It's called Midway City.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you very much for getting in on that.
Yeah, and thank you, Bill. And I'll have more news for you in a few months, I guess.
We'll be doing another show with Stuart here on Rosemary Brown right after the first of the year.
Okay. Will that be the one that's coast to coast?
Well, we hope so.
Yeah,
we hope so.
And we do too. Thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Stuart Rock.
Thank you very much.
Rosemary just fascinates me, and I asked Stuart to call and tell a thing because interest in her music, and she's getting it in the most unusual way, is growing.
By leaps and bounds.
By leaps and bounds, but among the people who are really into music, you know, they know music.
Isn't it correct that she was first reported many years ago? It seemed to me I read about her 5 or 10.
Seven or eight years ago, she started doing this. I mean, here was a little old, little housewife in England that all at once started writing this magnificent music, and she never even know what music was. And by the way, when she writes it, she doesn't write, you know, notes in a, like a musician would.
No.
She's saying, in bar one, you put a B flat into this. What she's told, she says.
Oh.
And then a musicologist has to put that into music.
Into staffs.
And it ends
notes.
Up being...
I'll be darned.
Very heavy stuff. Okay, now we'll get back to Dr. Lawrence Boren. I am Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. We may stretch it a little bit here tonight, but you have an open forum to Larry and I. And Chip Hunter is on the line. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Bill. How are you this evening?
What are you talking about tonight?
Well, tonight I'd like to share something with your audience that I know you're already aware of. And that is a new audiovisual film, which was created strictly for the purpose of pain reduction, healing, and stress reduction. And so far, we've had marvelous, marvelous results with it, so we're tremendously excited.
You know, Chip, I have seen the film, and I've listened to the film. And it is full of subliminals.
Right.
And it is magnificent.
Aha.
It really does. You can just sit down and you have these beautiful nature scenes coming back and forth at you.
Mm.
And you have birds. In fact, Chip was nice enough to give me a soundtrack off of it. And I played on my stereo at home, right?
Right.
I have birds chirping day and night.
Beautiful. Like to hear it.
And the subliminals are coming up, which you... you're not aware of, that are telling you to relax, be healthy, be all of that sort of stuff.
That's
where
great.
Can somebody see this film, Jim?
Well, as a matter of fact, tomorrow I will be up at the Insight Foundation at Sportsman's Lodge between 11 and 3, and will be shown there. And then if that's not convenient for people, I will be at the Mandala Society in August in San Diego. I will also be at the Life Extension Expo in Long Beach the first weekend in August.
Mm-hmm.
And if none of these times are convenient, if people do want to see it, a private showing can be arranged for them.
Just call you down at Chip and Books, right?
No, let me give you the number for New Vision Productions, which is the name of the company.
Okay.
It's 714 area code 669-9393. And if there's no answer there, then try 714-838-6008.
Mm-hmm. Or call me here at the station if you miss the numbers, and I'll get them to you. Or leave the broadcast information.
That would be easier.
But the film is spectacular.
Bill, did I also tell you that this is just one of a series of 12, and they will all have a tie-in with nature?
Sure.
And I didn't know if I'd share that with you or not, but the reaction we've had from people who have viewed it has been just unbelievable.
Beautiful.
Well, I viewed it.
I see that.
And have experienced it, and it is one of the most quieting things that I have ever seen in my life.
Tranquilizing without tranquilizers, right?
And it's interesting how people have been using it. For example, there is a dentist... who uses all of his clinics in the waiting room to quiet people down before they even go inside.
Oh, beautiful.
So it has many uses.
It does work.
It does work.
Okay, Chip.
Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, listen, I experienced it, and I asked you to call, and I wanted to share that with this audience we have, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right, thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Chip on Chip and Books down at in Tustin. What a great place that is. I think we have Virginia on the line.
Yes, you do.
Okay, Virginia, what's up?
I'd like to address my question to Dr. Boren.
Sure.
I have in front of me two books that are related to parapsychology, I believe. One of them is The Logic of Illogic.
Pardon me? I didn't hear it.
The Logic of Illogic. The
Logic of Illogic.
That's right. And,
sounds like a good book to me.
Well, get out your notes, you know.
That's right brain thinking, it sounds like.
Right Brain Approaches to Communication and Growth by Eric H. Marcus, a psychiatrist. I have his address, but I don't have his phone number. Would it be necessary, the address?
No, that's all right. Go ahead and tell us.
And the other book is Right Brain People in a Left Brain World.
Oh, great.
And that's by, as expressed to Evelyn Bishop, through art as therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel that these two books are related to parapsychology indirectly. Because the two authors that show us here, they are talking about the conflict between the left brain and the right brain. The right brain is supposed to be the seat of art, intuition, and perhaps the occult arts.
As well as mysticism, metaphysics, philosophy,
emotion in general. But the modern empirical science relies very heavily on the left brain.
99%.
99%. So, of course, this would mean that not only here in America, and the Western world, but perhaps all over the world, because yes. I read a very interesting article about in Arab countries where the left hand is considered, it's the evil hand. And the left hand, as we know, is dominated by the right brain. And even Arab countries, they it's fantastic what how they view the left brain, rather the right brain and the left hand.
Yeah, right. The left side of the body, in other words.
No, the right hand and the left side of the body, exactly, is
right.
dominated by the right brain.
Right.
But the way they talk about the left hand, what they say, the left hand only does the dirty work.
Yeah.
And when an Arab is eating dinner, he makes sure that he has his left hand down under the table because it's a bad marriage to show the left hand.
Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
That would only be true, my dear, for right-handed Arabs. Left-handed Arabs?
Yes, of course. That's what I meant.
But which are the normal, so-called normal ones?
Yeah.
Well, some Arabs don't eat, I guess, except in private.
Well, they do other things with their left hand, too. I don't want to discuss what they do.
They didn't have
some kind of paper.
The family show.
So that's what I'm saying. But anyway, this proves that this prejudice in favor of the left brain is not only in the Western world. It seems to be a world-known phenomenon.
Pretty much so, although the Orient, when we go to, let's say, China, India, and Japan, I believe you'll find the yin-yang theory does tend to elevate the yin approach a lot more than the Western world does.
Yes, they give
which comes from the right brain or governs the right brain.
Yeah, but don't you think that this big conflict of the establishment science against parapsychology is based on this type of prejudice, the left brain?
You have hit it right, the nail on the head exactly right, because, that's my experience at least. It's very obvious that all the scientists in the Western world or all over the world are schooled in left brain thinking, which is called linear thinking. Linear thinking. It's sequential thinking.
It's one step at a time.
Uh-huh. You look at one thing at a time only through a strong magnifying glass or microscope, and you don't see anything else in relation to it except that one thing.
Exactly.
And the right brain tends to see things in patterns, in terms of laws and principles, and is looking for universal meaning behind things.
And if there's anything about universal meaning to a left-brain scientist, he practically shoots you on the spot.
Oh, exactly. They're against it. They don't want to believe there's any universal laws or principles.
Well, I think we have a law that works very much. For instance, you run across something you don't understand or know, you either kill it or you poo-poo it.
Yes, you ridicule it, and that kills it sometimes by itself, or else you try to destroy it some other way.
But we're here on the air to do otherwise.
Okay. Right.
Thank you very much for your discussion of it.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I appreciate you calling, Virginia, and sharing those things with us. I'll be back in just a moment. Dr. Lawrence Boren is with us. You're invited. I want you to know I'm a fan of Michael Reagan. I don't care if his dad's the president. He is something else by himself. He's bright. He's witty. He's very, very, very smart.
Great.
And I really want you to listen to Michael when he's here Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Monday. What did I just say on the promo? But catch Michael.
Okay.
He's a super, super guy. All right, you ready? Larry,
yes,
you have some things happening.
Yes.
Cover those, and then we'll get
all right, if we may. Okay, in recent months, the question revolved in my mind, am I really crazy or am I not crazy? And thinking that these findings about the upside-down world of science, et cetera, could be the basis for a blockbuster movie, possibly, and even a TV series, and even a book release. Okay, over the past 3 or 4 months, I've finally put together what I consider, and a few other people that have looked into it, consider a very highly entertaining script for either a one-hour TV special or a theatrical film, which even some of these people believe could possibly outgross E.T., if we may be so bold to say that.
Well, now I've got to tell you, Larry.
Yes, yes.
I love big ideas, but that's heavy.
I know, but at least let's give it a chance. It just has that potential, I'm saying. Now, at the same time, it delivers, believe it or not, a startling and devastating message to the entire world. And in addition, it shows us even a solution to our worldwide dilemma.
Are you producing a film now?
I'm just getting to that point. I've just finished a pilot videotape of the first 20 minutes of this screenplay, and it's loaded with comedy, mystery, surprise, drama, and tremendous special effects.
Where are we going to see it?
Approximately 1 week from today or tomorrow, I should have the first copy of it available to show wherever some people would like to get together and see it. It'll be a half-inch copy. We need a half-inch machine recorder to play it on, video cassette recorder. And I'm available to show it. If anyone wants to call me at 483-7351 in the next week or two, I'd like anyone interested to call. And that would be best time would be before noon any day. Now, I'm not quite through. Let me say it this way. The solution it proposes is that mainly we should poke a bit of fun at ourselves to view our upside-downness with amusement and humor long before we try to correct the upside-down world, which is a gigantic, super-colossal job. Right? So what we believe is the best way, best approach here is to, make a little bit of humor out of the whole situation, which we've done in this film story. You see, we presented it.
It is funny. You know, you get out on the freeway and just look at the folks and, you know, it's funny.
Well, the whole thing is funny. I mean, let's think of it this way, among other things. Okay, the North didn't win the Civil War. The South actually won the Civil War. Okay, we're living not in the Northern Hemisphere, but in the Southern Hemisphere. This is not Southern California. It's really Northern California. There is no West Virginia. It's really East Virginia. And the Dakotas are upside down. We fought South Vietnam and South Korea. And all these things are backwards and upside down. It gets to be a little bit humorous.
You fracture me. That's really funny.
Well, yeah, it does have its humorous side. And so let's play up the humorous side. Not only that.
But wait a minute. I'm not saying you fracture me. And
no.
I know where you're coming from.
Right.
Your science is saying that is actually so.
Yes.
And you're putting it in that kind of thing to get our attention.
Right. It's based on two basic laws of magnetism, which prove that the poles are upside down and the four directions of the compass are backwards, according to even several scientists who admit this.
The positron is magnetic.
And the positron is magnetic.
Which causes all of that.
Yeah, it's behind
it really
all.
By the way, I've submitted your papers, you know, to some pretty good minds.
I would love to hear from them.
And they come back to me and say, Larry is probably right.
No kidding. Well, that's very gratifying.
Well, Tom Bearden will be here October 23rd.
Really? Be sure.
And he will be, finally, he's off of whatever he's doing.
Oh, great.
And Tom will be with us, and we will be talking about that particular thing.
What date was that?
I think it's the 23rd, 25th. Give me a couple of days there. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
Okay.
It's going to be in latter October.
October.
Tom Bearden and Bill Tiller will be on.
Great.
We will blow your mind that night.
Oh, wonderful. Now,
and we will talk about would you give you the number again, how somebody can reach you?
Yes, absolutely. 483-7351, or leave a message at 389-0917. But the best time to reach me at the 483 number is before noon, almost any day of the week. And may I just mention, we're in this project, we have not only a tremendous theatrical film potential, which can make tremendous sums of money, but we have connected with it tie-in products, which everyone knows, commercial products such as upside-down T-shirts planned, and an upside-down drink, upside-down foods. And
the whole thing is upside-down.
In other words, we can celebrate it. I believe in recommending one day a month should be at least set aside for celebrating the upside-downness of our world, our crazy mixed-up world. Let's enjoy it and make fun of it and have a little fun with it.
It seems to be that way, doesn't it? We're going to go to our callers right after we get through with this little piece of business and see what's on your mind. Ian, we are talking to John right now. John?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering this mysterious force was he was talking about, that the solar system was rotating around. I believe it was in a second recap.
Oh, yeah. May I answer that then?
Yes, I'd appreciate it. You didn't go on with it. It sounds interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
We had so many things to do here tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, this came out of an article in Science News, believe it or not, which is highly reputable, let's remember. 8782, that would be, I believe, August 7th, 82, last year, page 84. This was discovered in England, I believe, by one of the astronomers with one of the big radio telescopes, that the entire universe is rotating, and it doesn't fit into their Big Bang explosion theory very well at all, unless it is radically altered to include what I would call a divine fiat commanding the universe to rotate as it expands outward, because they don't believe it should rotate. I mean, they can't explain any way that it should be rotating. It should just be going straight forward outward in a radial sense, you know, straight out.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. Then that means that eventually it would come back to the same spot again if it was rotating around.
Try a cycle.
It would come around to the same spot in space. Every cycle.
I think one of the most interesting cycles is Arcturus, which is in the constellation Bootes.
Uh-huh.
It moves back and then comes back in and goes out again. We have watched that cycle now for about 1,500 years. Where you can go back to the ancient astronomers and they see that Arcturus goes and comes and goes and comes.
Right. The main...
It ain't going away.
No.
All the time. Big bang isn't happening.
The most interesting thing, I think, though, that's really powerful and significant, is that it's rotating around some mysterious center. Now, what is that mysterious center? They
well,
have not addressed themselves to that question as yet, and I say that is where, shall we say, cosmic intelligence comes in. Or
that's
cosmic.
What I was going to say, yeah.
You see, there, anything that is at a center of something is the controlling factor and is the... You know, represents something like a nucleus or whatever, where the controlling intelligence is operating, the controlling power or force, whatever you want to call it. That is where the God power is manifesting.
So, and if you discovered what it is, you're discovering what God is, or you're
discovering the main control center that God operates through, at least.
Right.
Well,
now, it's easy for us to understand how we all rotate around the sun. That's our little center in the solar system.
Right.
And I think it's easy for a lot of people to understand that the entire Milky Way galaxy rotates around a center.
A center of something.
Now, you have to expand that. That the entire creation is moving around the center.
Which is billions of light years. That's incredible.
Well, it's beyond our, you know.
It's all the metagalaxies.
$1.65, you know.
Right.
And my mental mind is gone.
Yeah.
It's all the metagalaxies, my friend, which are, each one metagalaxy is compounded of millions or billions, possibly, of galaxies. And they make up a supercluster called a metagalaxy. And as far as we know, that may be the last category before it goes around the entire cosmic center.
Does that help you, John?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Thank you very much.
All right, John. Appreciate your call. All right. We have Steve on the line. Steve? Well,
good evening.
Hello, Steve. I didn't push the button real good.
Oh,
but you're
I
up.
See. What's on Steve's mic?
Hello?
Yeah, Steve, you're on.
Right, hi. Hi, Bill. I know you passionately believe in all the theories you espouse, and many of which I agree with. However... What bothers us, as those of us who have brought up the question, I suppose we skeptics, is the sweeping statements that are made. Rosemary Brown's a good case in point. I lived in England for many years. And
Steve?
Yes, you run out of time.
You hear it?
Yeah.
Will you get back with me next week?
Get back with him next week, Steve.
Because
we like skeptics on here, too.
I love skeptics.
Absolutely.
Because I always learn from skeptics. I really do. But we have run out of time, and... So little time.
Yeah.
Right. Steve, thank you for getting
and
in.
Don't forget.
Join me tomorrow.
Right.
Larry, thank you for coming. And we got to go.
And everybody call in if we can on the project I mentioned.
Okay. It's open mind. I'm Bill Gibbons.
Are you enough? I'm Bill Jenkins. And for the next hours, it's a very shortened version of the open mind program. But we don't mind giving up our time to let the Dodgers do their thing and beat those world champion St. Louis Cardinals. And that indeed they did. But if you're going to stay with me for this hour, I want to invite you in for a mind trip. A little mind boggler, if I may. A mind stretcher. And with me is Grace Coveney. Hello, Grace.
Hello, Theo.
And what we're talking about tonight... Now, Grace is a psychic, and by the way, she's our resident psychic. here at KABC. She's what you've been with me a couple of times. You've been with Ken and Bob.
Six times.
And
all
you're going to be with Barbara Essenson tonight?
From 3 to 5.
Ah, lovely Barbara. She steals all my guests. But I'm glad to
but
have you
on. But you're
number
one.
And she's also a diplomat and says things like that. But rather, Grace, than the folks calling in and giving readings, which you do so very well. In fact, you do that better than anybody I have ever heard. And that's as you know, that's really not one of the things that I do on this radio program. We all know that you guys can do that. There is something else that you do, which is hypnotic regression or progression, either one. And I want you to tell us a little bit about what you know and what you have found out about that. And then I'm going to do something that I had to think about for a while, a couple of weeks, kind of personal in a way. But I don't have any secrets from the audience, and I'm going to share with you a hypnotic session where I went into a trance with Asoldi Bauer, and we went into the future. And I must tell you that got to be a little bit bizarre, so you won't hear the bizarre parts. they stretched my open mind a little bit, but we will go ahead and let it, because a lot of people probably have never heard what happens there. I wish that I could describe things in my conscious self as well as I did on the tape, the visions or pictures of where we are. And we were into the future about 300 years, and then again into 500 years. And then we went 2,000 years, and I decided not to play that for you because it's wild. Maybe I will. I mean, there's nothing in there I don't mind you hearing. I just didn't want to bend your mind too much. But I know that you're beginning to do this and working with your clients.
Ironically, when people do go into regression, they do all come up with the same story, which is really another mind blower.
Mm-hmm.
And these people that have come to me, they have no preconceived idea what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And when the stories start coming, I had one particular one. Her name was Denise. And her tape was one of the best I've ever had. She went back to the time of being an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I have her tape, which I know we're not going to play. But she described a massacre. And it was something that I play over and over again.
She really described it. In fact, I think I was out at your house and we played that for
her. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And then I have had other people that have gone way back into another time area where they're even on a boat and describing a boat.
Mm-hmm.
And their voices will go into the time element that they are. They change their dialogue completely. And these are no actors or actresses.
Right.
And when you're taking them through it, you have to be careful. You have to be where they're at. And you have to understand where they're coming from. So you're visualizing where they are. My friend Florence Garrett, I had her sit in on a hypnosis because she didn't know too much about it. And this gentleman went back to the 17th century, described his experience on a ship. And one of the things that came up, I saw his mother in my own mind. And I said, what is your mother doing? Why is she annoying you so? With this Irish brogue, he said, those eyeglasses on her nose always bother her.
Hmm.
And they annoy him because they're always slipping down. Now, my friend is sitting watching this and listening to this man. He went through five different stages. And each stage, he came out with a different dialect, a different place.
Isn't that weird? Whenever you, your clients, when you put them under, do they speak slower and softer than usual?
Yes.
Or are they very verbose?
Yes.
Because we had a little bit of difficulty. This is the second time it's happened to me. The first time that Dr. Frank Baranowski regressed me back into France,
mm-hmm.
I didn't use my vocal cords. I was whispering, which really made a great tape. There's nothing, you can't figure it out. On this one, I talked a little bit better, but it was much quieter mm-hmm. than I do, mm-hmm. and ordinarily do. So, the speech patterns are not mine, and all of those things.
Right.
And we're talking about a man in the future. And I would like for you to hear it. You want to share that with me for just a second?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll get to that in just a second. You know, we all hesitate. About a week and a half ago with Isolde Bauer. Isolde has moved down here. She's in Lake Elsinore now. And if you wonder, she did a painting.
Mm-hmm.
She painted me. She got it from a photograph from the radio station, painted me. Then she goes and sits sort of a trance and then paints past lives, or pictures or symbols mm-hmm. or things. And there were all kinds of faces on this beautiful painting that I have in my study right now. One of them that really intrigued me was a guy that looked like he had a kind of a space hat on, or, you know, kind of a futuristic thing. So when she put me under, we concentrated on that. And after we had gone through the regressive state, she asked me exactly where I was and to describe the situation. Now, I am under. I don't remember any of this. This is in, I guess, the beta state, probably,
mm-hmm.
when this happened. Okay, let's listen.
Incredible beauty. Sky is very blue. There are a few lacy clouds I see. Below is a magnificent city that stretches beyond the reach of my eyes. The architecture is like I have never seen. Mass. seemed to explode at the top. A giant, beautiful mushrooms that glisten in a very white sun. And there are trees everywhere. And birds. Yes, and there's laughter. A lot of laughter. A lot of people. Beautiful people. Though they are distant, you can see golden tan skin.
Microphone difficulty there. You can hear that in the in holding the microphone. When I heard it, I was stunned. And we'll hear some more of it as the evening goes on, because I allude to some things that are really mind-boggling. Some of them I will share with you tonight, and some of them maybe later, but I'm having to digest them also. The thing about a progression is that there's no way to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you hypnotically regress somebody into another life, and then you can go back and find that person actually existed. Now you've got something to dig your teeth into. In a case like this, we have to wait for 300 years, and then later for 500 years, and then we even go forward 2,000 years, and that's a different place altogether. But there were some astounding things that I said at that time. Does that sound familiar to you, that thing that happened there?
Yes. There was the type of buildings you described. Well, this girl, I did her brother also, and he described something like this.
Did he really?
He really did, and he went way out. And when you hear all this, you're as shocked as the people that are around you. When I regress children, and you could say, well, what can you do with a child? Well, the youngest one I did was 8 years of age, and he came out with things that his mother said, there's no way he could speak that way.
Mm-hmm.
I had a young boy named Matthew, and he was not a very tolerant young man. And when I put him under, he came out with words. Incidentally, I always have a parent in the room after I put them under. And this boy came out with words of such intelligence that we just sat and listened to him. One of his lives, he described being shot by someone.
Hmm. Well, on this tape later, I don't know that we'll have it tonight or not, I get into some very scientific things. I get into some very medical things.
And there's no way you would have known about it. This is my point. You see, there are a lot of people, or many people, unless they've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
They could say, well, it doesn't count. My son, Rick Gorek, who's here, I put him under. And he came up with some things. He went ahead of his time, which is now taking place. And I did you a year ago, right? And things that he said a year ago is now coming to fruition for him. With yourself, when you were under at that point, you felt, and listening to it, is it... I was with you. And I experience where you were, because whoever is putting you under is experiencing with you to bring these things out.
That was the soul devour, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was quite an experience. It really was. And we'll share more.
How did you feel when you got out of it?
Well, I got out of it in a very unusual way because somebody rang the doorbell. And I was paralyzed. I couldn't move there for... Oh, maybe...
Until she got you to come back.
She got me to come back. Mm-hmm. And but that was kind of frightening, because ordinarily the hypnotist will bring you back out in that way. We were evidently coming out of it. I had told her that I didn't want to do this anymore, actually, is what I had told her on the tape. And so we were getting out, and then the unexpected doorbell rang. So that was kind of a jolt. And I was having a little conversation with her on the side, really. Some information for her as to why all of this happened. Or it was allowed to happen. Well, we'll get back to that in just a second.
I said, people that are going ahead into progression, they come up with the same things.
Well, we'll see what else I came up with here in just a minute, but we'll take a little time out on Open Mind. Jenkins, it's Open Mind. Grace Coveney is with me, our resident psychic person.
Thank you.
And we get into hypnotic regression and progression. And tonight, along with Grace, we're sharing one that I went through here a couple of weeks ago. This next little cut, it's only a couple of minutes long, will probably astound you. It astounded me, because I was asked by the hypnotist, who was Isolde Bauer, what did I look like? Who was I? Was I a man or a woman? Look at your feet and, you know, start describing who you are. And I think that you will find this quite fascinating.
I look like I have looked for hundreds of years now, since the time of the transition. I haven't changed.
Can you describe
the... Yes. Ten. Ten.
Think about a letter that comes to your mind, right quick, a letter. And that aren't you?
My name is the name I've had for always, it seems, since the transition.
Can you remember? You should.
It is Bill. Going through the tapes, this is 300 and something years. Well, no, it's about 350 years from now in the future. And it's still me, and it's still Bill. Have you found that happening?
Yes, this young man described the toga.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. And he was in a large auditorium, very white, very stark.
Hmm. Well, this is evidently a beautiful place there that my mind had us at, or what we were doing at that time. And just for the record, through this whole thing, life never ends.
Death goes on.
Got rid of death. That'll be explained how that's done. And there's no sickness. And 2,000 years ago, it's still Bill and Evelyn, you know, mm-hmm. still living with my wife. Boy, she didn't like that.
Hi, Evelyn.
All right, we'll get back to that. I'm Bill Jenkins tonight on Open Mind. You're listening to some excerpts from a hypnotic progression. Is that what you call
mm-hmm,
it, Grace?
Progression.
Which Grace does all the time. I did that with Isolde Bauer. And it was fascinating. And there may be something in there worthwhile. Who knows? You know, if you've ever to do that, can they do that?
Yes, I live in Calabasas. My area code is 213-888-8116.
And you do regress people and progress people.
Progress
guess,
people.
The same way.
Right, and I do psychic readings.
And psychic readings.
And
yes,
I found out I've been combining both. And it works out very well. Because when people do come, they don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So I take them by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I will always tape a session.
Right.
Because I want them to know what they really have experienced.
Well, it's a stunner. Do most people go out whenever they go under? Some people remember whenever they're under, I understand.
Well, one of the things I do when people are under, I always take their picture, and I brought some, which I've
shown. Yeah, I saw them, yes.
And they always think they're not.
Yeah.
And I believe some people come on this earth, they're like new souls.
Yeah.
They're touchy people. They're very excitable. And they want to keep going. They don't have time to wait. Other people that I think have had other lives, they're more assured.
Mm.
They take things in an easier attitude. When they're going under, I try to have them visualize something that makes them happy. Could be sitting up on a mountain mm-hmm. at a seashore. Any place that's going to make them feel relaxed. What I do first is take them, in order to go into regression, you have to take them back in increments, like every 5 years. When they're ready to pass to another spot, being another person, sometimes you have to take people 5 and 6 times. They can't go back. They just can't. Now, that doesn't mean that they weren't under. They really are new souls.
They just weren't there.
They just weren't there.
Now, in this case, we went forward, and it was still me.
And it was still you. Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of stunning. And talk about something stunning. Let's hear this next one, which just when I heard it, I almost fell out of the chair.
I'm looking forward to listening to it right
Ray
now.
Ray Bream and Bruce Hershens and I are going to have a big talk about this one. But nevertheless, it came down. I was asked what was the name of the city that I had described earlier. And we got into the government. And this, you won't believe.
The city has no
name?
Real name. For it is a functioning city. Which will be here for a while yet. And then this whole city will leave. And go elsewhere in the cosmos. To do again what it is doing here.
Is there a system of a government
you
could think of?
Yes, indeed.
Can you describe a little bit about it?
Yeah. Government is not the right word. It is more of a way. Governments, what you you're on. We're suspended.
The governments were suspended.
Yeah.
Okay, Ray and Bruce. I was under hypnosis when Ray said that.
I would love to do a hypnosis on Ray Bream.
Don't get on my case. And we talked more about that. Just the governments weren't taking care of the spiritual person, and so they were all suspended so that the people could work together to take care of their spiritual needs more than their physical needs was what that conversation went on to. It was rather deep and metaphysical, in a way. Very spiritual kind of a conversation.
But your voice got deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
You went into another office.
I was sure saying some things that I wouldn't ordinarily say. I'll tell you that. Well.
Has Evelyn listened to this tape?
Parts of it. Mm-hmm. It's a little interesting for her, too. It's a Saturday night. It's open mind, and we're getting it stretched a little bit. I know I do when I hear this. I don't know exactly how that's coming across to you. Grace Coveney is with me. Grace, you're going to be on later with Barbara tonight,
Yes, from 3 to 5.
Oh, listen, when you come down, you just make a trip of it.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, her audience is so great. We have one more of these things I want to share with you, and then we'll try to get to your calls. But let's take care of a few things first. Be right back with you.
Everything, don't you?
I share it all.
Yeah, I'm going to remember that. As a matter of fact, yeah. I am more comfortable sitting on your lap.
Mike didn't come to work with you.
No, he didn't. So we can talk about it. You want to hear what I've got on the air coming at midnight?
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, we have, this is Older Americans Month, the month of May. And because of that, and also it was an excuse to have someone on my show that I've been trying to get for such a long time, this is Dr. Robert Morin. He is a longevity researcher at UCLA Harbor General Hospital. He also happens to be president of the American Longevity Association. And he's going to talk, I mean, you're talking about the possibility of really living forever.
He'll love what we're doing tonight.
I mean, he doesn't need to go into his research, but he's talking about in the same form you are now in, sticking around for 120 to 150 years. With the kind of research that he's doing.
Oh, and Matt, we're talking about 500 years here.
I understand that. Maybe, I think he's probably in his car, and I'm going to get him to respond to that. After Dr. Morin, we then have Edward Lawson. Now, he's a 36-year-old California man who took his case to the Supreme Court. I don't know if you heard him on Michael Jackson
sure
the other
did.
Day.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. He has been picked up, I think, around 15 times by law enforcement in a two-year period just because...
He
looks funny, and he's the first one to admit that. He dresses rather flamboyantly. He has his hair, long hair, in sort of a braided curl kind of a thing down past his shoulders, and because of that, he was picked up because he looked suspicious. Well, he took his case to the Supreme Court, and on Monday of this past week, the Supreme Court, on a 7-2 vote, knocked out the vagrancy law here in the state of California. So Edward Lawson, who is one of the most articulate people I have ever heard.
It really is worth listening to.
Fascinating. He is going to be on the air. And then I am grabbing one of your guests. Grace Coveney is coming back. Where she's going to wear yet another hat in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to be talking about Mother's Day, but perhaps in a slightly different way. We're going to be talking about the difficulty in relationships that between mothers and children. I also have an interview, or we'll have an interview with a doctor who has set up a hotline, a 24-hour hotline, just for tomorrow for Mother's Day, and he's got the psychiatrists and psychologists manning the phones to help people who are having trouble on this day, people whose maybe mothers whose kids are far away and can't be with them, mothers who have lost children recently. And so although it's a joyous day for most of us, for those of us who are going to have a tough day, we have a number and we'll interview that we're going to have with the doctor who set up his hotline for tomorrow. So should be an interesting show.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah, hope so. Hope you all stay tuned.
Now, your guy that's talking about living a long time, 125
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
We're going to go into one more of these little bits of tape. We moved forward 200 years at this
point. Okay, great. Well, Dr. Morin, if you're in your car, I want you to take notes.
It is still me. It is still in this little body. And
do you remember all of this?
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember any of it?
No, I had to listen to the tape to hear this. I have no recollection of any of this.
Interesting.
And I was asked, where am I now? Am I still Bill? And that sort of thing. And this is what came up.
This beautiful day again. It is one of giant expansive. Beautiful stone, hand-carved. Which looks out over a broad valley. A river. Below. Which forms a kind of a lake. The valley is lush. The hills beyond are not as rugged, but they're green and lush. The people, or there you can hear them laughing.
What do they look like? Do they still ask people?
Yes. Yes. Very little has changed except the city has gone off to function elsewhere. A new one has been built here near the valley floor that stretches up and down the valley floor. Seemingly cascading from the side of the mountains down to near the river. From here, we are aware of a great deal of activity in the sky, with the coming and going of Earth shuttles. For we already know beginning to engage in commerce with very distant places. Interestingly enough, one of the things we import or export has to do with hydrogen-based molecular substances. For we're rich in hydrogen. Hydrogen is the key element of the universe. From this, we literally export power, energy, to our friends on Earth, who have been most beneficial to us now that we grew up, and have greatly advanced our technology, and brought new vistas of beauty to all of us. I can tell you that to the south and west of here, not too many hundreds of years ago, was a vast desert. It was called the Sahara Desert. And it now serves as a fertile plain which feeds the expanding population of this planet, which now totals more than 28 billion people. And nowhere on this planet are there pockets of poverty or disease or famine. But rather, it is a planet now filled with happiness and joy, enormous technological advances and research. We have been so greatly impacted by our benefactors, and with their guidance and skill, no longer know death or sickness. And if death comes by way of an accident, with just a tiny bit of effort, the life returns to the repaired one. Okay.
I don't know if it's that time. I'm cold.
I wish I had time to play a lot more, because I'll go ahead and explain how that is done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting. I have taken some of that information and passed it on to some people whom I trust with it. Because you always run the risk that this is my imagination, my ego, belief systems, you know, all being mishmashed in an alpha state or something, coming out in a way. But it is fascinating listening. Anyway, I'll be back in just a moment with Grace Coveney. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind.
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, Ed. I know you have hung on there for a long time, but we have a lot to do here. What's on your mind?
Okay, let me say it quick. I had a session with Mrs. Coveney a while back after she appeared with Barbara last time. And this, my comment was in regards to the regression. And it's just a thought for you. Now,
there's our music, so make it quick.
Okay, I worked with Thelma Moss before and other people, and I'm privy to certain genetic experiments where they have transferred memory in lower animals from one to the other. And I'm just suggesting that that this regression might well be simply genetic memory. Genetic memory that can be traced and can be verified, simply that came down from your ancestors.
Could be, except we just ran out of time.
I wish I could expound on it.
Been a busy night. We'll try to get to that next week.
Fascinating show.
Okay? Thank you very much.
Good
and
night.
With that, we got to go. Grace, thank you very much. Your number real quick.
6.
Let me turn on the mic.
888-8116,
okay.
Area code 213.
And Grace will be on at 3 o'clock with
That's
Grace,
correct.
With Barbara tonight. Glad you came by.
Thank you, everybody.
This is Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's an abbreviated look at the world that most people don't understand, that most people don't know. And I think that tonight we decided to continue something that we started, 3 or 4 months ago, because Dr. Lawrence Boron is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Boron has a lot of very intriguing, interesting things to talk about. When the world is built upon a technology,
right,
and you certainly want to think that that technology is correct.
We'd like to think that.
But whenever it happens to be that that technology is upside down, and topsy-turvy,
right,
and backwards, as the technology becomes more and more pristine, if it's not working, then we're in trouble, aren't we?
I would think so.
Yeah. Larry, you say there are a lot of upside-down backwards. What I want you to do is to recap what we talked about the last time you and I were on the air, because we certainly provoked a few sparks then.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. Are you sure my mic is live now?
It's live.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, we went over 6 out of 15 or 20 different categories of evidence that I've amassed, put together over a long period of time. I would say close to 20 years, actually. And we call it evidence exposing that Western civilization is a world that is upside down, backwards, and in reverse or inside out in many, if not most, of its belief system.
Well, I tell you what, you're right in tune with the Open Mind show.
Are we really?
Yeah, because we think everything is backwards.
Well, you've been revealing a heck of a lot of evidence that they would call backwards in there. In other words, in the Orthodox view, our thinking is all backwards and upside down. Your thinking and mine and so on. But
We are avant-garde,
right. It remains to be seen who will be proven right.
But a lot of the things that we were talking about 4 years ago have proven to be true.
So, right.
And in the next few years, the rest of the things we're talking about will be proven to be true.
I think
And
so.
The other things that we will talk about, and I don't even know what that's going to be, will prove to be true.
I think
because they don't get on these microphones unless there's an awful lot of research behind it.
A lot of evidence has to be amassed, right?
Yeah.
You know, the average scientist, or let's say the orthodoxy of science, likes to poke fun at believers in UFOs, you know, and psychic powers and reincarnation and all these sort of far-out things of the New Age, we call the New Age.
I don't call psychic powers far-out.
I know you don't, but...
In fact, I think that's what Jesus was talking about.
Of course, but you do realize that the establishment views that as very far-out stuff anyway.
That's their problem.
And that's their problem. But I think turnabout is fair play. So if we have tremendous evidence amassed as to a lot of things in science, in particular, that are upside down, backwards, and inside out, I think we should have an equal right to poke a little fun at them.
What I want to do is, I want you to spend a few moments recapping what we talked about before and the things that you're doing right now. And then
I want to open up the phones, but I am most interested in hearing the skeptics.
Yeah.
The ones that think that the world is the way we see it now and we have got a handle on it.
Right.
Because I don't think we have a handle on anything.
Well, good for you, Bill.
I think the scientific community is a joke. I think the academic community is a bigger joke.
Bill, are you really
going to
say that?
The political community is probably the biggest joke.
Bill, you're even farther out than I am, then.
Well, I mean, I'm far out.
I mean...
And by the way, I can back up what I have to say.
Well, that's wonderful, because...
Now, what I want to do, I want the skeptics to call in, because we're going to tell them some really strange things. Now, we're going to be a little bit scientific tonight, because...
That's what I like.
Dr. Boren is a scientific person, and we're going to talk about science. We're going to talk about how Einstein is wrong, and a lot of the scientific principles that we're building our technology upon happen to be backwards.
Yeah,
and we're getting to a point where science won't forgive you as you start using it more and more and more and developing it to a finer and finer
point. Right.
If your science is backwards, then all at once your technology is going to fall down.
You're in big trouble.
You're in
tremendous
trouble.
Deep trouble. And, you know, you did tell me, I think, that my postulated discovery of the magnetic nature of the positron has been somewhat verified since I brought it out.
In a number of places. You brought that up here on this show.
About 6 months or 8 months.
And I am, as you know, a little bit of an underground network that I am involved with.
Yeah,
they're pretty heavy scientific people.
Yeah.
They have read your paper. And some of them have come up with the same idea themselves, by the way, just because they're now getting into very, very heavy science.
Heavy science.
All at once.
It rings a bell.
Rings a bell. And in fact, they came up with them, came to me with their own papers. They're saying the whole thing.
Well, at the end of the program, I would like to see some of their statements or evidence that...
I didn't bring them with you, but with me, you know.
I know.
Doing good to get down here on a Saturday.
Well, anyway, sometime I want to, you know, share some of their findings, too, so I'll keep up with it. Okay, now, you'd like me to recap, I believe.
Recap last week. We're going to do a commercial break. I want you to make your new statement and what you're doing right now, and then we're going to go to the phones.
Okay. You're going to go to a commercial?
Not right now. I want you to recap.
Oh, recap first.
Time.
Okay. Well, we covered 6 categories of evidence last time. And let's see. Let's start with the first one of them was what we call our main astronomical model. That is our model of the entire universe that science recognizes and has put together in the last 50 or 75 years is as follows. Their idea is that the genesis of a universe that is highly organized, but it was unplanned and uncreated, forever running down, yet forever expanding, with no advanced cosmic intelligence behind it, mind you, to create it and control it. Now, such a model of the universe is beginning to fall apart. So I find, not only in my findings, but in other research scientists. Okay? They are beginning to find that it's really inside out and upside down, according to the latest evidence. Now, I went into 4 categories of evidence to support that. One concerns the small discovery of the small neutrino mass and the recent discovery the universe is actually rotating around some kind of a mysterious center. And there was 2 or 3 other categories of evidence, which, you know, we won't try to recap every bit of this evidence. But this was one category, that our main astronomical model was upside down and backwards. Now, the second category we went into was that our main biological law, which we call Darwinian evolution, was upside down and backwards, according to the best thinking of recent scientists. And, of course, we all know that that denies that there's any divine spirit in man or the universe. It also denies there's any purpose or design to the universe.
By the way, we went into that last week with Dr. Jeffrey Goodman.
Oh, did you?
And Dr. Lee Gladden and Dr. Vivian Gladden.
Yeah.
Evolution. No good.
It doesn't cut the mustard, as they say.
No.
It doesn't hold up.
That's out. Darwin is done.
Darwin is a past tense or past case because he...
A fleeting fancy, as it were.
Yeah. He served a certain purpose and a certain value up to a point, but he's been shot down by the recent discoveries that, for example, Dr. Wickramasinghe of Wales. He's no doubt Hindu. Shot down by evidence from Edgar Mitchell and his group on consciousness research by Drs. Epton and Lovelock of England, who have proven that a higher intelligence definitely prepared the Earth's atmosphere for living things before anything living was able to appear here, and many other categories of specific evidence.
Dr. Mitchell will be on in October, by the way.
Oh, great. I would like... Maybe I can sit in and listen.
You're welcome.
I'd love to talk to him some. Okay, Bill. All right, let's take a third category. Well, let me see. Our third category here would be that the true cause and action, for example, of electrical force, as taught in all the textbooks on electricity, is also taught backwards. That is, most of the time, or let's say it this way, a slightly different way, they teach it both backwards and forwards. In other words, for the first 100 years of electrical research, beginning with Ben Franklin and his era, they thought that electricity flowed from plus to minus. Then about 75, 80, 100 years ago, they found out that no, electrons actually are flowing in the reverse direction. But they have ever since then taught it both ways. Instead of saying... We were teaching, you know, we learned it wrong, or the theory first put forward was incorrect, and now we will change it and make it correct. They didn't do that. Therefore, I say that where science is not upside down and backwards, it's half sane and half insane. You know, they let sane doctrines go right side by side with insane doctrines.
Well, they don't want to admit that they were wrong. You get the right and the wrong together.
Yeah,
and you make up your own mind.
Yeah, but can you imagine teaching thousands and maybe millions of students of electricity and electronics two different directions for electrical energy flow? And then they're supposed to figure out under what conditions should we use this terminology and this direction, and under what conditions should we use the other? And it creates nothing but confusion and a tremendous mix-up.
We're going to have to stop right here, Larry.
Okay. That's just a few categories.
We're just starting.
Yeah.
If you have... You know, if you're a listener and you have a view of the world, we're talking mainly about scientific things, but we will get into some other things also.
Oh, yes, indeed.
The psychic things. We have a caller on the line, Stuart Robb, who's been on with us a long time. He wants to talk about Rosemary Brown for just a minute, which blows a lot of people's mind, Rosemary Brown.
I should think so.
We'll get to Stuart and the rest of you. But let me give you some telephone numbers, because if you think that the world is the way you see it, wrong, it really isn't.
Got another thing coming.
Got another thing coming, and here we'll open up the doors and you can talk about all of it. Let me give you some numbers. It's open mic and sort of a short version, and we invite you to call in because Dr. Lawrence Boren is with me. And Dr. Boren says that most everything we're talking about is upside down. Now, we have Stuart on the line. Stuart Robb has been a guest on the show a couple of times, and he wanted to talk a little bit about Rosemary Brown. Dr. Boren, are you familiar with Rosemary Brown?
Well, I believe that...
Rings a bell. She the one that different composers are supposed to play through?
Stuart, yeah. Tell us about Rosemary.
Yes, very briefly. She's a London housewife, or more correctly, house widow.
Uh-huh.
Of no musical training. Who claims to be receiving music dictated to her by the great composers, and she does not hear the music. She hears the notes, actual notes being dictated to her, you know, like A, B, C, D, and or the...
She writes it down in kind of longhand, right?
Oh.
Oh, yes. However, Fats Waller and Gershwin are included. Chronologically, right from the 17th century, Monteverdi, up through the great composers of the 18th and 19th, Bach, for instance, Beethoven, and then Schubert in the 19th.
Right.
The rest. Lists her control, or guide, or guardian angel. And he rounds up the other composers, purpose being to prove survival after death by means of music, which will identify the various composers.
Very good.
Enormously impressed were a number of musicologists, including the world's leading authority on the music of Liszt, and... Also, Leonard Bernstein, and quite a number of other eminent musicians, like Richard Rodney Bennett.
Great.
Perhaps of anyone, so on.
It's, Rosemary Brown is very intriguing.